dusty afternoon, and it was just me and Johnny Walker and a pile of unpaid bills taller than the bottle. I couldn't do anything about the bills, but I was doing my best with the liquor. And then he walked in. He had shoulders so broad, he had to turn sideways to stay in the same time zone. Big, strong hands. The kind that grab on and don't let go. And deep, dark eyes that pulled you in and made you not care about falling. He said he was looking for a dick. I told him that was two of us. He looked confused. He didn't seem to get the joke. I couldn't tell if he was just playing dumb or living it. But when a man looks as handsome as he doesn't need to have a lot inside his head. His looks and body can get a woman to pay his bills for him. So I suppose it was her money that he put down on the desk in front of me, right between the bottle and the bills. From the look of it, it would take care of getting a lot more of the first and paying off all of the second. I wondered what woman the money had come from. "It's my wife," he said, as if reading my mind. "I think she's trying to kill me." And sometimes pretty boys like this get strange notions into their heads. Imagination or not, his money was real enough. I couldn't help falling for the lost, fearful look he had in his eyes. "I'll protect you," I said, opening a desk drawer and putting the money into it. Pulled out two glasses from the same drawer, blowing the dust out of them before settling them down. Then I poured us both a healthy amount of whiskey, hoping he didn't notice the lipstick on the mouth of the bottle. But really, all I could think about was making all kinds of interesting lipstick marks on all the best parts of his body. He picked up his glass and took a sip, then choked a little. Whiskey's a little strong for some, and apparently he was having trouble swallowing. It's never been an issue with me, and I'm not just talking whiskey. Speaking of which, I went to take a sip of that and actually killed the entire glass. But it was an excuse to refill both of our glasses, even if his was mostly filled already. I looked over my drink at him with my smoldering eyes, savoring every last drop. It had been too long since I'd had one. A man, not a drink. Not that I was counting, but it was 3 weeks, 6 days, and about 20 hours. I got it into my mind that I wasn't going to let it go a full month. I'm not usually the type to make a married man stray. At least, I always plan it that way. But if his wife was trying to kill him, then the marriage was definitely gone from that relationship. I stood up and walked around the front of my desk, moving my stockinged legs in that way that usually gets me what I want. I asked him to sit down in a voice that was iron wrapped in velvet. And like a good boy, he did. I sat down on the corner of the desk right in front of him, crossing my legs in a way they don't teach you at St. Catherine's School for Wayward Girls. I could tell I had his attention. He probably wasn't getting any more sex than I was. Or maybe he just needed it more. I found the latter hard to imagine, given how worked up I was getting. But stranger things have happened. Still, it seemed like he was trying to be too obvious about staring at my legs. So I shifted forward on the desk a little, causing my skirt to pull up a little more. Now he could see a bit of garter, but it was what he couldn't see that I really wanted him to wonder about. I asked him about his wife, not minding that he's not making eye contact right now. He tells me she's a rich dame, like I figured. He'd been her chauffeur until her husband died, and then he moved from front seat to back seat with her. Things seemed to be going good for him, until he found out that she wasn't as rich as she seemed. And she had a disturbing tendency to go through husbands who all died in their sleep. When he pulled out the huge insurance policy she'd just taken out on him, I started to realize there was actually something to his fears. Which was okay with me, because a real case pays a lot more than a pretend one. It also meant he was definitely on the market as far as my limited standards went. When he tells me he thinks she's cheating on him with her bodyguard, I know I've struck gold. I ask him about the gun her bodyguard carries. He doesn't know the specifics, but from what he describes, I'm not impressed. I tell him that it's okay because mine is bigger. I unbutton my vest a bit and show him the shoulder holster. Most men are so busy looking at the cleavage, they don't notice I'm packing heat. I take off my vest the rest of the way, leaving me in just a blouse underneath, and the holster. I don't need to do that to show him the gun better, but I do to show him other things. Then I take off the holster, arching my back more than is strictly necessary, and then lean in to hand it to him. He doesn't know what to do with it, of course. And he's all about cars and women, too. I'm hoping a gun that big is too much for him to handle. I tell him to wait a minute. And then I part my legs slowly and let him see the Colt strapped to the inside of my thigh. It doesn't have much stopping power, but it definitely held him in place. I undid that holster too, then handed him the gun, still warm from being pressed against my thigh. I don't think that thought escaped him as he held my piece gently. I was more than willing to return the favor if he asked. But he was too shy and innocent. I suppose he'd been this hard to seduce the first time for his murderous wife. I wasn't trying to kill him, though. Not intentionally, at least. All bets were off if I got him horizontal. Or vertical. Or diagonal. I wasn't picky. Fortunately for me, he was vulnerable. He was scared for his life and had good old adrenaline. flowing through his veins, telling him to fight or run. He wasn't the fighting type, and he'd already run all the way to see me. Now he had all that energy and emotion with no place to release it. Or at least he thought so. He'd caught up with me on the whiskey. A lot of things go down easier after a few swallows of whiskey, and I'm no exception. I took the empty glass from his hand and set his and mine down on the desk. I took the holstered guns back, too, and tossed them onto the coat rack, decorating it like the world's most lethal Christmas tree. He had to know something was up. I can see enough of his crotch to know something was up there, too. A man like him can't help what happens around a woman like me. I let my pump with its stiletto heel accidentally fall off my foot. And just as accidentally, my stockinged foot brushed against the front of his pants. It seems I wasn't the only one that carried iron between their legs. He gasped, then moaned, in a way that let me know I was heading down the right path. I ran the ball of my foot up and down his length, and I could swear the trip took longer every time. I kind of wanted to tease him with my foot for a bit. But guns and some of my other favorite things have a way of going off suddenly when you're fooling around with them. Based on what I was feeling, I was likely to lose an entire leg if that happened. So I told him to stand up, all sweet and sexy-like, even if he was already standing at attention for me. He stood up, and I pulled his zipper down with my fingers, not my toes. My foot's not that talented, just my hand, also my mouth, and another part of me that I won't get to quite yet, but he will soon. I undid his belt, then let his pants fall faster than a stockbroker on Black Tuesday. I yanked down his boxers, and he clumsily reached under my skirt, and he ripped off my panties. I made a note to write them off as a business expense, even though his hands on me were pure pleasure. He no longer needed my encouragement on anything. Even though my eyes let him know exactly what he wanted to do to me. I opened my legs up more, still sitting on the edge of the desk. He moved between them and up against me. He might have been all thumbs with the guns I showed him, but he knew how to handle his own piece. Oh. He was in me in an instant, holstered as snugly as any of the dozen guns I owned, but his safety was definitely off. Weeks and months of fear and frustration were suddenly given a focal point, and that was between my legs. But I could take everything he threw at me, and I was begging for more. I leaned back, throwing my arms back for support. The whiskey glasses went flying, shattering against the wall like the dreams of a farm boy after a month of living in the big city. That was another business expense to add to the list. But compared to the money he'd paid me, I didn't mind. The only thing that mattered at the moment was him moving in and out of me. Oh, his rhythm. Oh, better than a big band orchestra. And I was doing my best to conduct him, but he was improvising now and driving me wild with his percussion. And then suddenly, it was all trumpets blaring and cymbals crashing in my body, even while my mind was all flutes and harps. And cracking the case was almost as easy as seducing him had been. The bodyguard wasn't as tough as he looked, and spilling the beans to save his own hide. His now ex-wife was lucky to avoid the chair. But she ain't getting out of the lockup in this century or the next. I dug up enough dirt on her to bury her for good. Unfortunately, she really was broke. She lived off her first husband's wealth, and then a series of insurance policies on her later husbands. There wasn't much left of her money at that point. Her poor ex-husband was left to fend for himself in this cruel, cruel world. I took pity on him, of course. I needed a secretary, even if his dictation did need some work. The job doesn't pay much, but it does put a roof over his head and gives him a place to sleep. Well, it's my roof, and it's my bed, but that's all part of his job description. Speaking of dictation, he's writing all this down right now. I've been telling the story to him the entire time. A glass of whiskey in one hand, and the other hand, doing some naughty things to myself as I remember it all. I figure this could make a good story, even if it's maybe a bit too salty for the type of detective magazines I grew up reading. But maybe something a little trashier will be willing to take it. I always wanted to be a writer, but there's something else I'd much rather be doing right now than writing. Remembering all of that fun has put me into the mood. So put down that pen and paper, handsome, and come over here. I need inspiration for more stories.